What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Culture Club HDX
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shavonna Robert-Schreiber.
Hello. I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson, Bowman Lombardi. Fashionista.
I'm just laughing at you.
You can't stop that.
You're so
fashionista,
funny.
Bio-bay, meaning
bossy one.
Bossy one, occasionally.
Oh, please. Always.
And Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who's never walked a sideline, and I guess probably never will. And co-host of Culture Club HTX, again, here with my beautiful, brilliant,
non-bossy,
beloved,
agreeable,
black and really bossy,
agreeable
co-host.
Shavonna Robert-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, the eighth wonder of the world. And the parliamentarian,
which
who
is kind failing it miserably.
Please. Anyway, but we're in our sports section, and we have a special, extra special guest, baseball boyfriend Scott,
who's going to give us a major report on the Astros spring training soon.
Well, I can't wait to get to that segment. When do I stop becoming the extra special guest? I'm here so often that maybe
You know, we've talked about this. And then what happens is you go on holiday and then you disappear.
You keep saying that. I'm retired. Every day's a holiday.
Okay, so y'all heard it here. So, you're part of the show.
You made a commitment to show up.
Sold. Invites coming your way.
We have a middle chair set up for you
Just for you.
All right.
You're welcome.
There you are.
Okay, before we get to baseball, let's talk about Lovely's favorite basketball.
Brackets. Yay.
Bracketology.
Not for professional basketball. It's March Madness time, 2026.
So what does that mean?
Selection Sunday is March 15th on CBS with the first four in Dayton kicking off the tournament. The final four is set for Indianapolis and the championship game on April 6th. So March Madness is like a weekend, right?
No,
it's right now.
Okay, whatever. So the projected number one seeds are Duke, Michigan, Arizona.
Bear down.
Yeah, where you were once...
Yeah,
an All-American basketball player.
Yeah, Hall of Fame. Don't you forget it.
All the things. And Connecticut. No U of H?
Second seed.
Okay. So we were texting because U of H was playing, and they were really good. The point guard is great. I was like, who is this
Everybody's
kid?
Talking about
He's
him all
a
the
senior,
time.
I think, right?
He's a freshman.
No way.
Kingston, yeah.
He is excellent. And so, but, you know, we beat you. But that's okay. What's happening with the Rockets? Let's talk a little bit about them before we get to baseball. Magical, give us an update.
Let me hop in.
They've been struggling to figure out how to close games, clutch games and all that, but they're doing an okay job of staying in the mix in the top tier of the West.
They just played Washington, right?
Yes, they beat Washington.
Oh, good.
So as long as they can keep hanging around, it's just figuring out what they're going to do and figuring out clutch situations. Like in those final,
Come on. Exactly.
The offense tends to struggle in those last little bits of trying to figure out what they're going to do. And Kevin Durant, 37. It's a tired time for him. But, I think they have the muster to figure things out. Reed Shepard, you give him minutes. He's been hitting. He looks like a six man of the year candidate. So, they have opportunities to continue to show out. It's just they need to figure out that offense in the final like 4 or 5 minutes of a game.
Perfect. All right. Speaking of Clutch City,
there's
baseball.
There's a trivia here that's kind of interesting, right? You might want to just say
what
key storylines to watch. Kevin Durant's KD6 sneaker was retroed by Nike this week. Great lifestyle and culture angle. I think that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
I'm very glad we have Kevin Durant now.
You are?
Yeah.
He's old, though.
I don't care.
He came from the University of Texas. That's why.
That's right. All right. So let's talk baseball. So you have been away in Florida at spring training. What did you see?
I did. I went to spring training last week. I was hoping to see four games back, so I only got to see two. But I spent a lot of time on the backfields, kind of watching the
oh, look, that's Lovely's phone.
Play.
It was, We don't know. Every time. Keep going, baseball boyfriend Scott. See, you know, you're just a part of the show.
I have absolutely nothing.
Of course. So then how does it go off? Anyway, keep going.
So I had a chance to see a lot of the young players, which is what I like to do when I go to spring training, is look at the young players, particularly those who don't have names on the back of their jerseys and high numbers. Those are the ones that are most interesting to see. I saw a few young players who impressed.
Really?
And I had a chance to see the areas of concern that the Astros have been wanting to address. Mm-hmm. So let's start with that second thing first. So the Astros came into spring training with too many infielders and an unsettled outfield.
Mm-hmm.
In the infield, the obvious question since the season ended last September has been, what are the Astros going to do about first base, and where will Isak Paredes end up?
Mm-hmm.
And halfway through spring training, and we're halfway through spring training.
Yeah, we are.
Those questions still haven't been answered.
Hmm.
Christian Walker is off to a slow start, and the Astros haven't been able to trade him or Paredes for the left-hand hitting outfielder that they need. The bright spot in the infield seems to be Nick Allen. He's the utility fielder that the Astros signed to replace Mauricio Dubon.
Ooh, let's look up Nick Allen.
Nick Allen.
Is he cute?
Nick Allen is a good player. He was a Gold Glove finalist at shortstop last year. He's been kind of a good type of player. But he's had a really good spring. His hitting's been better than expected, and his defense has been really good.
Hmm.
In the outfield, the Astros have a trio of, I call them the young guns, Cam Smith, Joey Loperfido, and Zach DiCenzo. And none of them has really separated themselves from the pack offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Myers looks like he's going to be the everyday center fielder, and Taylor Trammell, who the Astros picked up last year and who was okay down the stretch, has really had a decent spring.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the Astros outfield remains in disarray, and I don't think that they can be called a strength at this point.
Disarray is a strong descriptor.
Yeah, I think it's pretty like, accurate
this time. Okay.
And what about the young players that I saw?
Yeah.
There are three I'll point out. First, I've been impressed by Walter Yannick. He's a catcher with good defensive skills and a decent bat. He'll probably start at Corpus Christi in AA this year. I've really been impressed with Ethan Frey, who's a really big, when I say big, 6'6", 250.
That's like Aaron Judd.
Yes.
Yeah.
Athletic player, just out of LSU. He just graduated this past
Lovely
summer.
Doesn't know who that is.
And he'll also
I have no
probably,
idea what you're talking about.
We're speaking French to you. Keep going. Keep going.
He'll probably start in Corpus this year, but I'd say keep an eye on this guy. He's very athletic, kind of like Aaron Judge. He can play a lot of different positions. You know, it's always hard to tell how college skills translate into the pros.
Yeah,
this guy's
fact.
Got a lot of tools, and it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen. Now, look, the guy who's impressed me the most that I personally saw has been Bryce Matthews.
Mm.
So he's a Houston native who was the Astros' top pick in the 2023 draft.
Where'd he go to school? Do we know?
He went to Nebraska.
Oh, that's a good baseball school.
Yep.
Yep.
But he plays, wait for it, the infield, where the Astros already have too many players. So they've been experimenting with Matthews in the outfield the way they did with Cam Smith last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the experiment with Cam Smith produced mixed results. You know, Smith was a really good fielder, ended up being a Gold Glove finalist in his first year ever to play right field. But his hitting really tailed off.
I feel like that would happen to me.
Yeah.
I would be Gold Glove my first year.
But your hitting wouldn't tail off.
No.
But the Gold Glove, yeah. Anyway, keep going.
So we're halfway through spring training, and the Astros look no closer to answering the questions they had when it started. And here's the part that's really kind of unfortunate. Their recent bugaboo, which is injuries, has raised its ugly head again.
Oh,
Josh
no.
Hader, who is their all-star closer, and he missed
the last. What's wrong with him?
Well, he missed the last half of the season last year with an injury, and he's had arm problems again this spring, and he is questionable for opening day.
How old is he?
He's not too old to be.
No, he's like, yeah, I'm like, he's breaking down over here. Come on, John.
That's a position that puts a lot of strain on your body. Jeremy Pena just broke his finger yesterday.
I saw the headline. Yeah.
And so what that will do for the early part of the season, it's a small bone in his hand, so it's not likely to have long-term effects, but it may keep him off the opening day roster. And Nate Pearson, who's one of the pitchers that the Astros were hoping to give their starting rotation depth, has also got an elbow injury. So the prognostications have started coming out on how teams are likely to finish this year, and most of the...
Welcome to Coach's Club.
Not me.
Phone's turned off. Mm-hmm. So most prognosticators make the Mariners the favorite to win the AL West.
Really?
And the Astros to finish with a 500 record, which, if that happens, would be the worst record they've had since 2014.
Hmm.
And so far, I haven't seen anything that would cause me to quarrel with
I was going to say, so what do you think? Wow.
So
are we going to opening day? I know that's your question, Lovely.
So you know, I take my grandsons to opening day every year.
No.
They don't even like baseball.
You see how good he is? He never just says no.
But they don't like baseball.
He didn't even say
that's why they're not going to spring training anymore.
That's right. But they are going to go to opening day, and my oldest grandson is 18, and this will be his 19th
you know what?
Opening day.
This is what
you
I'm going to do.
You're in her stomach.
No, I am going to model my life after baseball boyfriend Scott. And
well,
how I respond
I just
to
want you to know one thing.
Magical
Scott.
Is losing it. Over
no
there.
Is a good answer.
No, he you never says no. He never he ever can't. See. I mean, am I? He just like either says nothing
he's
or
slick.
He just. I love it.
Okay,
though.
So I have a question.
Oh, you do.
That came out of his report. Yeah.
Who's Aaron Judge?
Well, probably, but no, that's not it. Or how much does he really weigh? That's not it either. No,
like
my question is,
pounds. He's big.
When you get chosen, are you drafted in baseball?
Oh my God.
Every other sport, correct?
Well, there's several ways that you can you can join a team. You can be drafted. There's a draft every year. They can draft high school players, college players. There's an international pool that you can sign players from. And then there's a way that you can cherry pick players from other teams under certain circumstances. It's called the Rule 5 draft. So there's a lot of ways that you can come to a team. And then there are players that don't have contracts that have the ability to negotiate with teams until the team and the player come to an agreement on a satisfactory contract.
Okay, my question, I'm going to clarify a little bit more.
You have 30 seconds.
If you've never played baseball before professionally and you are drafted to a team, do you have to go to – can you come straight to the team or do you have to go to the farm clubs?
Well, it depends. It depends on the caliber of the player.
Yeah.
But it's very rare
for a player to go straight to
the major leagues. It's very rare.
That would happen to me,
so
though.
Cam Smith
me
may
too.
Be the closest
absolutely
recently.
Come. Yeah.
Who
or I wouldn't come, period. I'm not going to the B team.
Cam Smith.
He played 12 games in the minor leagues before he came to the majors.
So one thing I do have to ask, and this I know we don't have that much time, but I'm thinking about this when you mentioned high school. So do you know Carl Crawford? We're peers. And our high schools played each other. He was really good at football and baseball. Mm-hmm. So he got drafted for baseball and Nebraska, which gave him a football scholarship, and they held it for 5 years.
Mm.
Do they still do that, I wonder? Do you know?
Well,
for the two-sport?
They might, and it's easier to do that now than it used to be.
Oh, really?
It used to be once you signed a professional contract, you couldn't go back and play non-professionally again. But or for collegiate baseball.
But it wasn't baseball. It was football.
Oh, okay. He was signed for one. And they held the baseball scholarship.
No, he was signed for baseball. They held the football scholarship.
So, if he doesn't make it,
he could have well back. Yeah.
Do that.
Oh, good.
And it's very common, by the way, now and it has been for a long time, for players that are signed right out of high school for the professional teams to pay for them to complete their college degree.
Yes.
They just have to go during the off season,
right.
Which means it's going to take a player who
8 years, at least.
Probably six or seven to get through college under those circumstances.
Well, thank you, baseball boyfriend Scott. This was fantastic.
A little enlightenment on top of the.
And she still doesn't know who Aaron
forecast.
Judge is, but that's okay. Okay, we're going to take a break.
Wait a second. Gloomy forecast is a way to put this because we Astros fans are spoiled by how good this team has been
this
for
is fair.
So long.
That's fair.
When you get down to playing 500, which means you win as many games as you lose, as being a gloomy forecast, well, it's gloomy compared to what we've seen in the past. But that's a springboard. They can get better. It's unlikely they'll do a lot worse than that. They could be better. And it's a team that still values competition and values competing. And they have an owner that will spend money to make sure the team's competitive.
Good. And with that, we'll be back. At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now it's time to talk some business with Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shavonna Robert-Schreiber inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson, Bowman Lombardi, the fashionista. Bio-babe, meaning biography, not biology.
You don't say.
And Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who's never walked a sideline, here with my beautiful, blessed, brilliant, black, and bossy.
No, you're bossy today.
Well.
Yeah, okay.
I could sometimes be bossy, but I'm not the other things.
You're not. Well, you are beautiful. You're not black,
though. Thank you, but I am not black.
Yeah, that's
okay. I try.
We
know. I've been trying since the day I met you.
We know.
But I can't get there.
It's okay.
Okay,
you have me.
Introduce yourself.
So, Shavonna Robert-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, the eighth wonder of the world, and the parliamentarian.
It doesn't work.
But who are we here with today? We have some super exciting guests.
We're so excited. Well,
look
our
at
baseball
this guy.
Boyfriend, Scott.
Hi, my name is Scott.
For this segment. Say hello.
I'm always happy to be with you, too, and I'm particularly happy to be here because of your guest.
Okay. Oh, yay!
So,
she's ducking.
Let me introduce our guest.
Bio Bay. Who
we
do we
joined
have?
By Dr. Shelley DeZevelis, president of West Houston Airport,
whoop, whoop.
Commercial pilot and aviation leader. A Houston native, Shelley started her aviation journey sweeping hangars at just 8 years old.
I love this so much.
I didn't even know how to hold a broom. And earned her pilot's license at 17. Today, she leads the West Houston Airport, one of the region's busiest general aviation airports, and a longtime training ground for thousands of pilots.
Like me!
Yeah, including, you know, lovely.
This one over here.
I'm lovely.
You're
whatever
lovely.
Whatever you are.
Shavonna.
Yeah, you. Oh, right. You're the one-word name.
Yes. Like
anyway,
Oprah.
She also serves on national and state aviation boards, helping shape the future of the industry, while encouraging more women and young people to pursue careers in flight. And just as an additional bio on our beloved baseball boyfriend, Scott.
Oh, you're beloved
today. He is
also
a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Did I call him that?
You called him beloved.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. yeah. Anyway, also a pilot and
this is what we do.
Past chair of Lone Star Flight Museum and kind of part of the founding of Lone Star Flight Museum.
Are you chair emeritus now?
Well, I was chair. I stepped aside as chair 2 years ago, and I've been on the board since early 2000. But no, Bob Waltrip founded the museum, and I've just been pleased to be a part of it for the last 20 years or so.
And being so cool. Okay, but we're here to talk about Shelley. It's Women's History Month.
Yay!
Super excited. I know, finally. We've been, like, counting down.
Right.
So this gives us an opportunity to celebrate trailblazers like yourself. And so when you think about women who helped you take flight. So literally and figuratively, I know your father probably is the person who got you into flying, but we're talking about women because Women History Month. So who comes to mind?
Well, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Of
I always
course.
Love talk flying, and I'm so glad you fly at West Houston Airport. It's great to see you, and we need to see you back. Okay?
I know.
Are you still taking lessons, Shavonna?
I need to go.
Once you start, you keep going forever.
Okay.
You have to keep, you never stop training.
Okay.
Like spin class. Anyway, Shelley. Mm. So who has encouraged you when you think of like women who've paved the trail for you?
I said that I I love this question because there are so many unsung heroes that mm-hmm. are women. I'm mm-hmm. going to sit there and tell you about somebody who is been very personally a personal friend of mine. And I knew her even before I started flying. Her name is Debbie Harvey Wren. Debbie Wren Harvey. Sorry, I made that mistake. Debbie Wren Harvey. Mm-hmm. She started flying in the 70s. And she, to put things in perspective, she is a 13-time world aerobatic champion.
Oh, wow.
And I always wanted to fly aerobatics. I did do that later, but that's a different discussion.
Wow.
And she was also, in 1989, became the number 11th female pilot hired by Southwest Airlines.
Huh. Oh, fabulous.
She's an amazing woman. And she's still here. She's at LaPorte Airport, and she runs and operates her own flight school and training program. Amazing woman, and FBO, which is basically, it's called a fixed base operation, mm-hmm. but it's basically a gas station for airplanes.
Wow.
And just
I
phenomenal.
I never knew what FBO was. Thank you.
Side note, fixed base operation is because back in the old days, back when Scott started learning to fly,
1945,
you took the cars followed the airplanes. So mm-hmm. and so then they started building airports, and it became a fixed base operation. So that's
standards.
I've seen the address in military addresses so mm-hmm. many times that I never knew what it meant.
There you go. Now you guys are experts in flying. So let's get you going.
Oh, okay. I'm ready. Hello. She won't let me fly her, but that we'll get there. So you've worn so many hats. You're a pilot. We've already talked about that. You're the president of West Houston Airport. You're also a mom and a wife and friend, board member, mentor. What moment, if you can pick one, I mean, can you pick one, really crystallize your aviation career? What do you think?
Being able to pass it on. Mm. And when we have a little 152, which is a two-seater airplane. And when I'm sitting there flying with my 16-year-old daughter, that crystallized everything. She becomes the fourth generation pilot when she gets her pilot's license.
Fabulous.
And she is somebody that's the perfect example of who I want to continue teaching and being a mentor to, because you want young women to get more involved with aviation.
How old does she have to be to get her license?
She has to be 16 to solo, 17 to get her license.
Okay.
So she's almost there?
She's almost there. She's got to get a few more hours. Yeah. But she's working on it.
So I don't, you know, I've not done this, so I don't know all the requirements and all the things. Yes, we'll say not yet. Because who knows
what's next. Who knows?
My favorite word is next. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so that's exciting. So only a small percentage of pilots are women. What actually moves the needle? Policy, scholarships, mentorships, models, visibility, or something else? When you're the only woman in the room or on the ramp, what habits help you protect your voice and make decisions with confidence?
Well, I'll answer that once at a time. Okay. I think the first thing about bringing more people into flying is having it out there for people to see. Mm-hmm. I was on the board of directors of Girl Scouts here, San Jacinto, mm-hmm. and we did a Discover Aviation patch, thanks to the help of the Lone Star Flight Museum as well.
I'm on the board now. I just had a board meeting today.
Yay!
Congratulations.
Fantastic. Congrats. Well, that's good. It's a great organization.
It is super awesome.
And you get to see how the girls grow up and have different interests and learn what they like and don't like. And that Discover Aviation patch has been a huge hit. Mm-hmm. And it brings out a different side that isn't, you know, very familiar or mm-hmm. very often seen. So that Discover Aviation patch, thanks for the help of the Lone Star Flight Museum, is one way to help bring people in. You have to see it mm-hmm. to know it. A lot of people look up in the sky, and they're like, gosh, I wish I could do that, but they don't know the first steps. They don't know, how do I do this? How do I go forward?
You go to West Houston Airport and you tell them, and they will get you hooked up
right
on the Discovery
flight.
But
I also think there's barriers to entry that have to be addressed also. For like the Girl Scouts bringing you into mm-hmm. it's great, but if you're just an ordinary, average human being, you know, where do you learn about it?
And that's just going to the airport's the first place that you learn.
So you hear us kids. You go out and see her.
We do. You do. Yeah. Well, not just see me, but, you know, my role is to also bring people to go to where all the kids are and then help talk about things. Okay. Mm-hmm. Going to different schools, going to different events, going to parades, going to Wings Over Houston and talking about, hey, you want to come learn to fly? This is what we do. We have a program here, et cetera. What's been fun, too, is the kids who are about to graduate high school, mm-hmm. we have a lot more programs now, a lot more colleges have flight training
that's
included
great.
In their curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, Scott.
I bet you see among some of these flight programs in the colleges a higher percentage of women now than we have historically seen. And I think part of that is because of the availability of female role models.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that has been the pipeline. That is, the people who come into this process, that pipeline has to be big at the base,
mm-hmm.
so that you have people that come out at the top,
right.
who are accomplished and have finished. Because almost with everything that you start with young kids, a certain number of them are going to decide that this is not
for them.
They
want to do something different. That's right.
And so as you get more people coming through the pipeline, you have more people who come out the top, and the more women who come out of the top, the more role models there are. It wasn't that long ago that when you walked onto an airliner, the likelihood of you seeing someone, a female, in the cockpit was pretty small. And
right.
Now it's common.
You know what? And I must say, if I see a woman in the cockpit, I'd feel safer. I just
really?
Feel like, yeah, I feel like women are more detail-oriented, and it's such a detail-oriented thing. Keep
That's aw. Interesting.
Yeah, I feel safer.
I don't know if I do.
Really?
It scares me a little because I think they have less experience. That's
no.
just my thought.
No, you
they've
can't.
They've been there less.
This is not flying an airline is based on your experience.
On hours.
If she's got 150 hours and I have 5,000, I have more seniority. We may look or act different or be a guys or gals or any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
This is based solely
on the numbers.
Hours.
Yeah.
You're not getting up there based upon who you know or what you or what you look
Thank
like.
Goodness.
You
yeah.
are getting based there because of the hours. Okay. There's no differentiation.
And the other reason I do feel safer, and I just do, is because I know that there are not many women in aviation. And so the path that they had to take to get there, that's another thing. I know it wasn't easy. And so the fact that they stuck through it, to your point, Scott, just says a lot about their tenacity. I'm like, we're not going down. Everybody relax. So part two of the question, what do we think is going to move the needle? So Scott talked about pipeline, but what do you think? Visibility, you've mentioned that. What else?
Well, things like you're doing, being a part of Girl Scouts, you're going to be telling people, gosh, I'm learning to fly. I'm mm-hmm. like, wow, you can do it. I want to do it. How can I do it? It's the visibility. It's being out there, showing the examples. It's opening up. I sit there and I think about Sterling High School here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
They have an aviation program.
Oh,
so
that's
by
right.
the time you graduate high school, you can get your 40 hours of flight time and get your private pilot's license.
Wow.
And then you take it to, you know, one of the universities in Texas. There are five new universities in the past 5 years that have aviation programs.
Doesn't
that
Texas
are
Southern
up.
Have a really huge? Okay, that's what
have
I thought.
A big presence at Ellington. In fact, they have a brand new hangar really close to the Lone Star Flight Museum.
Huh. So, how do you lead as a woman?
I think the same way any other leader does.
Yeah. Good you, answer.
I mean, I would like to say I'm like Lisa with style and grace, but I know I don't have that kind of beautiful style. But it's with the perseverance. It's with being an example. It's showing yeah. people how to get where they want them to go. You know, we have, you know, under 30 employees.
Mm-hmm.
Half of them have been there for over 15, 20 years.
Really?
But
That's
the other
great.
Half are transient because they're pilots or, you know, they're flight instructors.
They're getting their hours.
They're line crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to move on to other places. We have
mm-hmm.
people who are running the Houston airport system. We have people who have been part of the pilots who are all flying all over the world in airlines and in business aviation. So it's just lifting people up. Showing them another, you know, being an example
yes.
and leading. So I don't know if that answers.
No, that does answer the
does.
Question. Now the wand, that's a good
if
question.
You could wave a wand and change one policy or practice that would make Texas the best state for women in aviation.
Ooh, great question.
What would you change first and why?
What I love about our state is we have a lot of those policies already in place. I sit there and I was just talking about the universities. Texas mm-hmm. is one of the busiest aviation states in the country. Actually, it's number either one or two in either pilots or airplanes or operations.
Really? I did not
we
know
actually
that.
Have a huge military presence in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, Raytheon and CAE mm-hmm. and several other – and Textron. We because of the way our economies run, mm-hmm. it helps bring more companies in, more people in. So specifically about women, I'm going to follow through with what Scott was talking about. The fact that we have great schools, not just TSU, but you got Angelo State, Stephen F. Austin State University, Texas Women's. They all have flight programs that in the past 5 or 6 years have met capacity and gone further than capacity. And most of these kids are female. When I learned to fly in the 80s, 5% were women. 5% were women. Right now, it's only 7%. But the student pilot population is getting into the double numbers. And just like you said, it's creating that pipeline. And it's not just the competition. I mean, it's not just not being able to see flying, but it's the competition of all the other activities that we
exactly.
have as well.
So let's talk a little bit. You talked about the universities and the fact that we have five in this great state that have aviation programs. So what else are you seeing as it relates to smart innovation for aviation, infrastructure, training, avionics, et cetera? Like, what, I feel like you're on the bleeding edge. You get to see a lot of things that we don't know about yet. So what are you seeing? Maybe you too, baseball boyfriend, Scott.
I was about to say, Scott will be able to answer that too. It's exciting. It's really exciting. We have what's called a whole new infrastructure of aviation and aircraft coming in with advanced air mobility. And the advanced air mobility are primarily electric, maybe a few hydrogen, hydro-powered airplanes that are going to basically take you from the top of this building, fly to Intercontinental, then you're going to board a flight and go wherever you want.
Yeah, I have to do it without a pilot?
Some of them you can.
She doesn't want to. I'm like, this is my, I'm like, yes, sign me up.
Think about it.
I'm not getting a car without a driver, and I'm not doing an airplane.
We can put a stuffed animal in the front seat. Does that make you feel better?
Well, you know, I know. No. Put a stuffed animal in the seat, close the front door of the airplane, because you never see it anyway.
You don't see them anyway, yeah.
It is reality.
She's like, no.
We don't have any pilots up front anymore, really.
Don't tell her that. She's like, what?
Not true. You know, I know it's all automated, et cetera, et cetera. I do understand.
But you do have humans up there still, which we need. We need humans.
Hey, man.
We need humans.
My company, I'm going to just take a break and talk about my company, Astounds, is literally leading AI innovation right now in the whole answer engine area. So I appreciate it. We've worked with AI for years. I do. I appreciate all of it. I don't know why I think some idiot person is better than AI. Well, you know, but what if you need brakes?
Look, there's a lot of things that a human can do that AI can't.
A lot.
And
change the floor in an elevator.
There's a lot of things. So we could talk for hours about that. But in reality, and that brings up another point. Mm-hmm. AI is going to be used to help with aviation safety with the new modernization of our airspace. And that is a big issue coming up right now, especially.
You think we'll get it passed? And
we did get it passed. We're working on all the we're working on everything else now. The Congress got it passed, and so they are working on putting things together in place and working with contracts to getting companies involved to help make it the right way.
Speaking of, let's talk a little bit about, we've been talking about pilots, but what about all these other roles in aviation? So when you just talked about air safety, I thought flight control. So what about that? Any news, anything? Hopefully more people are going into that field as well.
Into air traffic controllers. Yes, exactly. Actually,
we have a deficit.
We do have a deficit. Air traffic controllers, a couple of years ago, we weren't filling the classes. Now we're filling the classes.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's great.
And also what we did a little bit more of innovation in terms of they're contracting out to different universities, not just one training center, because there are a lot of people who can help train.
Okay.
You have a limited lifetime on how long you can be an ATC for. Just like 65, you retire as a pilot from a commercial airline. So it's exciting that we're going to have a lot more people into this. And AI is going to help with this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, we have technology on our airplanes, ADS-B, out that we have on our aircraft that help keep us away from other airplanes. It's safety's layers. It's all about protection from different ways, shape, and forms. Not just looking outside the airplane, but also the technology on your aircraft and also the people looking out for you as air traffic controllers.
You're Absolutely. Convincing me to abandon my role as the old guard.
Good. Okay, so I love your motto, which is aviate, navigate, and communicate, right? You said that. I pulled that from that's your like theme. That's like your theme.
It is. You gotta get control of the issue.
Yeah.
Then you gotta manage what you're gonna go, where you're gonna go, and then you figure out how to tell everybody else about it. And that's you have to
aviate,
navigate, communicate. And that's the way I look at life.
And you talked about it a bit when we were talking about leadership, and you were saying how you lead at the airport with the 30 employees. So do people walk around and say ANC? Do you just say that?
No.
Hey, you should start saying that. I love an acronym. ANC. Just walk around. Okay, baseball boyfriend Scott, I feel like you have some contribution. What did we miss? What haven't we talked about?
Well, there's one thing that you all mentioned, which was barriers to entry. And one of the barriers to entry really is the cost of this.
Yeah. I was just about to say, will you give me a scholarship,
Scott? And one of the things that I think that's recently just happened is the FAA has a new initiative that's designed to lower the cost not only of equipment, that is what people have to buy in order to fly, but the process by which you go from place to place, all of which should make it a lot less expensive and therefore a lot more attractive to yes. people who might not otherwise be able to afford starting out in aviation.
That is true, because it is not inexpensive to fly, like just lessons. And so that is true. So I'm glad
I'm
to know this.
Add to that as well, because college isn't cheap either. Mm-mm. But now that they're marrying the aviation program, the flight programs in with universities, they understand that it's an easier way to pay for learning to fly at the
That's
same
right.
time, because you need a degree and all these hours count towards your degrees.
Right.
So. And I
That's
think
great.
Most of the major airlines and the major flight operations have programs to get people in from the beginning to start training not only as pilot and flight crew, but as maintenance folks, because the entire transportation segment is exploding and the demand for the use of airplanes is getting bigger and bigger. And the source that we used to have for people to fill those jobs was the military, which is much smaller in the aviation area than it used to be. So what colleges are doing now is so important for that. And this comes back to the topic of this discussion. As you move that down in the colleges, you're picking up more women throughout the process.
You're smart. You know that? You are. No, that's
he is very smart.
You're smart, but that's very well said, because you're right. Like, I'm thinking, I agree with that. But he ignored my question about being the scholarship provider for me. He ignored that. That's fine.
Also, you know, there's an organization called Women in Aviation.
I do know.
I apologize.
No, it's okay.
But they offer, I think, $2 to $3 million worth of different scholarships from different companies all across the world. So it's if you want to go look at a scholarship, and they're for men and women, you just have to be a member. Go through it.
I've aged out, I think, my friend, but that's very sweet.
No, because they have specifics on it, not just young ladies. Not
okay, good.
Men,
now you're talking.
They will do ATP check rides for people if you've got the commercial, if you're certain. Ah. You know, they'll do if you're looking for business aviation. I mean, it has all these companies.
So. I got one more question.
Yes. We have a lot more. We have some rapid fire.
I know we're going to do the rapid fire, but before the rapid fire, what does it cost to become a pilot? Give me an estimate.
Your first step to becoming a pilot is called a private pilot's license. Mm-hmm. That's where you can take passengers. Mm-hmm. Minimum is 40 hours. Average person usually takes 60 to 65 hours. And the cost of that is anywhere from $15,000 to about $25,000, depending on what planes you use, where you go, who's your flight instructor, et cetera. You can fly in older planes. You can fly in airplanes with air conditioning. You can fly in airplanes that don't have air conditioning. You can fly in glass cockpits. You can fly in the steam gauge, which there's a lot of different variables to it. We are a little bit higher priced at West Houston Airport at our flight school because they are employees.
Mm-hmm.
So we pay workman's comp insurance. We do a lot of other things, different discussion. But
so you're at the 25 end, not
we're,
the
we're
15.
On that, we're on the higher end, but yeah. not.
All right.
But
people
you get
need
what
to
you
know.
Pay for. You can have an airplane that's fueled up, ready to go.
And they're nice. I mean, I think you have
and
nice
we're open
aircraft.
24 hours a day. Thank you.
Yeah,
very
you do.
Much. We're open 24 hours a day.
Wow.
Our employees, our flight instructors are there 5 days a week minimum. So they're on call for you. We want to be customer service oriented.
Yes.
So that's kind of the way our.
You know what else
I just
think.
If you want to change that, you can add
no,
that.
No, I would just say that's a career education cost. And if you look at the cost to be trained to do almost any job in this country today, that sort of number isn't really.
It's low.
Well, I don't know if it's low.
Well, I think it's low.
No,
community college.
It's not out of whack, but it's when you're doing it as a discretionary thing, like it's not my career, then it's like, okay, it's kind of expensive. But yeah.
Anything.
But I'm going to go get a scholarship.
You're going to get an ROI out of it one way, shape, or form. And when you sit there and you think about it, if you're sitting, it does cost a lot. You get your private, you get your instrument, you get your commercial license, you get your CF, your certified flight instructor. And then you go get your hours and get a job. But if you're going to go to the airlines after 7 hours of being in that airline, you're making really nice six figures. Really nice six figures.
Oh, sure.
And that's continued to grow. We need, I think is the number, and correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, we need, I think it's 32,000 pilots between now and 2060.
Wow.
We don't have that coming through the pipeline.
Hello, people.
I think that's right.
Captain Shivana here.
That may be an annual number.
Okay, so rapid fire.
Sure.
Okay. First aircraft you fell in love with.
Fell in love with the 152. It's the simplest airplane to fly. It's so easy. You can take it in and out of everything. And I think it's probably near and dear to my heart because my dad gave me my first flight lesson in a 152, and yet I'm working with my daughter in a 152.
Oh, I love that. Pre-flight ritual that you never skip. And I know you're going to say all of them because you're
a good pilot. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I don't skip anything on pre-flight. That's just too important.
Tower or tarmac? Where do you think best? Do you mean tower or you mean airspace?
the tower. Like if you're where you could, we could say airspace, but I was actually meaning like looking out, since you are a leader at the airport, like looking out over your airport.
Okay, tower or tarmac. Yeah. Good question.
That's a good question, but I kind of had to change it. I actually do my best flight when I'm up in the air.
That's your best thinking, yeah.
You get to see.
That's why I love it.
You have to think, and you just see everything.
And it's quiet.
It is quiet.
I love it. Favorite view of Houston from, and then what pattern?
Okay. Well, you know this really well, and so does Scott, because Scott's been flying for decades. Taking off from 15, you go left onto I-10, you mm-hmm. head eastbound on I-10. Mm-hmm. It's called the I-10 corridor, and you start flying down the I-10 corridor, and it's right there, everything about Houston.
Yeah.
It's the perfect, right north is the reservoir, and just south of I-10, you see the Galleria, and then you see downtown. It's the beautiful, most, it's the prettiest sight once you take off from 15. So.
Love that.
And last one?
A song that belongs on every cross-country playlist.
Tom Petty, Learning to Fly.
Ah, okay. Baseball boyfriend Scott, what would you say? Because you fly quite a lot. So what would you say? What's on your playlist?
I should have thought about
AC/DC, Back in Black. I like it. Def Leppard?
No, I think I'm gonna pass on that one.
You don't know who Def Leppard is? Yeah. Come on. No, you don't have a playlist on your flight?
I don't.
Really?
I don't.
Curious.
Do you know what? Do you know, I actually have never got into listening to music while flying.
I didn't either, because we didn't have it back then.
Yeah.
Even
cross country, you just listen to the radio and just fly.
Do you know what I do when I fly cross country? I look at the ground. I look at the world. And you know, I've got an old biplane that I fly really low in, and it's at a altitude that people can see you and wave at you. And I enjoy seeing what the world looks like. So I don't want to relax and listen to music.
Great.
I want to experience the joy of flight.
You know what? This is why you're here. See what I mean? This guy's good.
No, he's perfect.
We just like, so we're adopting you. It's official.
We've
done it. This, you're good. Okay.
I mean, he actually replaced me on a whole show. So.
No, he didn't replace you. No. Okay. So this has been fantastic. Thank you so much.
How can people
learn more about the airport? How can they learn more about you? You have a website.
WestHoustonAirport.com is a perfect place, or you can always come by the airport. We have what I call the, we have a little continental breakfast on Saturday mornings. Everybody comes there to talk about flying. So Saturday mornings, you know, from like 8 until like 10, just come by and talk to the people who love their stories.
I'm in spin, but everybody else will be there.
No, we'll be like, we're friends with Shelly. Just show up. We're gonna bring She's like, don't say that. All right.
No, do say that.
Well, thank you again. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much for all you're doing for aviation.
We appreciate
it. For women in aviation, for people in aviation.
Young girls.
You guys
all
need to
of
come
it.
Out.
Yeah,
we will. We're gonna come.
We're gonna come.
Maybe
see
we
you.
Can go do a flight.
Okay. Yeah, I can. You know what? You can fly with me.
Yeah, there
you can come too.
Do you know what you ought to invite him to? Is the Girls in Aviation Day out
I'm
at the museum?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
When is that?
That is going to be.
Is it in April?
I don't remember the date, but I can get it to you.
Yeah, we'll get it to
you.
Yes,
because we talked about this last year, but we missed
it. Yeah,
because
we want to be able to share it with other people.
We do.
Definitely.
And we're gonna take a break, but this has been fantastic.
Thanks
thank
again.
You so much.
We'll be back.
Are you a business owner and looking for a fun and low-cost way to advertise? Yes? Super! You should join our Culture Club HTX crew. Visit us at cultureclubhtx.com and click on Culture Club HTX crew, or send us an email at connect@cultureclubhtx. You'll be happy you did.
It's Culture Club HTX
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shavonna Robert-Schreiber.
I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson, Bowman Lombardi, fashionista.
In the fashion.
Segment. But I'm also the bio babe. I don't have a bio this time.
Well,
you don't have one to introduce. And Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach who never walked a sideline.
I like how every time you say it, it's like you're discovering it at that moment.
Coach Nelson,
all of them, you're like, huh, who am I? Every time.
Well,
it's like,
because, you know, I morph constantly. My favorite word, everyone, in case you don't know me personally, is next. My whole life has been about next.
So next you're going to.
Oh, well, next.
So next, I'm going to introduce myself so we can do the segment. Shavonna Robert-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer, Eighth Wonder of the World, parliamentarian who is on her job today.
Yeah, you've been okay today. So far, so good.
So let's talk. You said this first story. You're super excited.
It's kind of important. There's a Houston startup that's debuted bio-based leather, a bio-based leather collection at Milan's Linea Pelle, which is the big leather show. It's leather apparel in Milan. And
I think you need to get a bomber jacket.
Yeah, it's called Ream Materials, formerly Bucha Bio. Interesting. And India's Econoc unveiled a 10-piece capsule.
All these are just things I don't know.
Well, basically.
Yeah, the bottom line it.
Bottom line is the collection's a bomber jacket and asymmetrical. It's the
baseball boyfriend Scott says he's getting a bomber jacket.
He's very excited that the product is there. We could just stop. There already was washable pleather. So
yeah.
I'm not sure how this is so much different, but it's a purpose-driven business solving supply chain friction. The number one reason brands don't adopt next-gen materials, Econoc brings small-batch, high-quality manufacturing and artisan network, so brands don't have to figure out production themselves. So that's a big deal.
Why don't like leather again? Why don't people like leather
again? They don't want to kill animals.
Okay.
Yeah, so, right. Don't eat steak and don't, don't eat beef and don't wear.
Oh, is that why you don't eat beef?
No, I don't eat beef.
Okay.
Because I had an ulcer thousands of years ago.
Okay.
And it won't digest. You want to know more? No.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so let's get to the real deal.
Baseball boyfriend Scott's like, what did I sign up for?
Well, welcome. He said he wanted to
welcome
stay.
To that. So are you going to get a bomber jacket or no?
Let's get. I have a bomber jacket, sure, and it's made of leather, which I actually thought was bio-based. So.
Leather is bio-based. Mm-hmm. It
have
is.
You had it's ulcers?
Just, no, and I've never had an ulcer.
Okay, cool.
Well, I
so
have a leather
and
jacket,
I like to eat
too.
Meat, so yeah. There you go. Well,
so there you go. You can be sexy. You have to.
You
come
can
on.
Have my meat. It's all fine. Okay.
What? Oh, my God.
This is a big deal. God.
She says things that she just doesn't know what they mean. Okay. So Target.
Sorry. I don't know what it means, but the whole crash over here.
Can
next
you talk
to me.
About Target?
Okay,
so
yeah, I'll talk
Target's
about Target.
Beauty Studio.
What's replacing Ulta?
Ulta is leaving.
Well, I didn't know that.
Me either.
Their five-year or whatever contract, five or six-year partnership ends in August after it's 5 years. And basically, what Target Beauty Studio and Ulta has been is a shop-in-shop prestige beauty zone.
Mm-hmm.
With 80-plus brands, 60 are going to be new to Target. Spanning skincare, hair care, fragrance, and cosmetics. And it's going to launch online simultaneously, I guess, in August, Target Beauty.
This is very interesting.
Yeah, as Ulta goes back into its own 600-plus stores and their in-store shops. The other thing that's kind of happening at the same time, which is, I guess...
Is this French to you?
Selena Gomez has her rare beauty. She's launching her rare beauty $1 billion to be,
yeah.
You know, help, you know, skincare line, et cetera. And it's arriving at Ulta February 1st. And I guess Target is building their own prestige beauty line. I don't know if it's going to be celebrity based or what, but the two moves.
But that actually makes sense. They should have like a house brand, right? I mean, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, so this they would have be house like brands for everything.
Yeah, for everything else.
So not that I concealer. Want Joy Lab Cosmetics.
Would you like some concealer, baseball boyfriend Scott?
No.
Do you think guys can wear concealer?
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Anyway, so this is going to be really interesting. So
what's interesting about it, and I'm just going to give you an arc of history.
Okay. Do we have time?
Sales of cosmetics companies through the years.
He says
so cosmetics companies used to sell and still sell to department stores.
That's right.
And department stores owned their floors, and they merchandised them, and they sold
and
stuff.
They spray perfume on you when you walk.
Well, that started when one day one of the cosmetics companies was not happy with the way the department stores were presenting, selling, demonstrating, et cetera, and went in, I think, actually probably to Bloomingdale's first and said, can we just lease space in your store?
And then we run it. How
and
we
run
to.
It.
Yeah.
And so the whole cosmetics area has become leased space.
Ah.
So the cosmetics that you buy from wherever you buy it, unless it's direct online from their brand, is probably leased. The presentation, everything is controlled by the company from the concept all the way to your house. Okay, we used to call it concept to closet.
So why are we talking about this?
So we're talking about this because Target is going in the other direction.
So why do we think
they're
that's
taking
happening?
Back this leased space of
yeah,
Ulta.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And they're going to get into this honestly treacherous business,
mm-hmm.
fickle business. all the things at a time when their business has not been.
Well, this is going to be.
Even though the cosmetics business did see a 5%.
Is this going to be the beginning of the end for Target? I wonder.
God, I hope not.
Because I think this is a risk. I wouldn't
it's
do this.
It's a very high risk,
I wouldn't
in
do
my
that.
Opinion.
Huh. Baseball boyfriend Scott, you know about risk. What do you think?
I don't know anything about this subject. I just wonder if it's.
You don't know about makeup? Come on.
I wonder if this is a reflection of a change in buying habits where people are buying so many things online these days where they don't actually have to experience them.
Mm-hmm.
Such that going to a store like Target where you no longer have an expert like you might have at Neiman's trying to steer you toward a particular cosmetics maybe feels more comfortable to a bigger segment of the buying populace. I don't know.
Well, no, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be really
interesting. Right. This is, and the other thing they're talking about is this is going online immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be tested in the stores. So,
So,
and I do think that Target is probably enough of a trusted resource. And once again, what did they say here? 60% is going to be like 60. So, like 75% of this presentation merchandise is new to Target. It doesn't mean it's new to everyone.
Right.
But the brands are new to Target, and I guess they feel they're prestigious or great enough that they're going to be able to increase online sales right away.
Interesting.
So, anyway, it's
yeah, you went on a whole arc.
Well,
you took a deep breath.
You know,
took a deep breath. I'm like, that was
what
an arc.
What do I know?
You that
know
was
what
an
mean?
Arc.
I know
hey,
about
you,
fashion and
you
retail.
Threw down the gauntlet and did the arc.
Yeah.
And
I think you should know because, once again, what goes around comes around.
That's right. Remember and that store, so, Merry-Go-Round? Do you remember that
yeah,
store?
Yeah, of course.
You, no, back. You know that store?
No.
Well, it may be back. He did have a daughter's.
I keep telling him this.
How could he not have no Merry-Go-Round?
You don't know Merry-Go-Round?
They went in the bottom floor of the Galleria without you, I guess, because that's where it was.
That's where it was. Yeah, it was on that
lower level.
It's a store. It was a store. It was like a hip, cool store.
It was
store.
A teenage store.
No. You know Abercrombie and Fitch? You know that? Okay, so.
Yeah, but before Abercrombie.
Yeah, I mean, but before.
It was before Abercrombie.
Yeah, it was really good. It was
okay,
cool.
Okay, we're going to stop now because.
Baseball boyfriend Scott's like, what are we talking about? Okay, but this has been a great show. Thank you for joining us. And y'all heard it here first.
No more special guests.
I just wondered if I've been a guest so many times.
We're getting you a name tag.
No, third anchor.
You're the third anchor.
I don't want to be a third anchor. I just want to be a regular guest.
Okay. No, you're just going
to
be baseball.
Be special?
Whatever. We know.
You
I got
to
it.
Not be baseball boyfriend Scott anymore.
I can be whatever you guys want me
to be. That's what we like to hear. All right, with that.
We own you.
Oh my God. What do we want people to do? Not own people. What would we want them to stay bold?
Stay bold.
Stay elegant.
Oh, it is stay elegant.
Oh,
first.
God.
So we want them to stay elegant.
No, stay bold first. Remember, it's in order. Yeah, you said it right.
Stay focused.
Please. Stay fit.
And stay fabulous. Like us.
Like us. All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Don't own people.
I know. I'm like, don't own people. We're going to not do that. At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.